If you will take your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 5. We're going to be reading some verses there in a few moments. The question is, what does a Satanist look like? If Satan had a public relations firm, they would probably not portray him as he truly is, but as something that he is not, and something that others would desire to be. You know, we all know what a public relations firm is. It's a company that will take you and they will put you forth into the best light to make people want to listen to you or see you or be you. So if Satan had a PR firm, they're not going to portray him as he truly is. But they're going to portray him as someone that we would like to emulate. When we think of a Satanist, we probably have some images that are conjured up in our minds. Thankfully, because of Hollywood, we now have a perspective of really what Satan looks like, don't we? You know, red glowing eyes, red scaly skin, horns, and a long tail that ends in a pitchfork. But the point of this lesson is that Satan and those under his influence don't look the way we picture them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, Paul writes this, "And no marvel, don't be surprised, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He's got a very good PR firm, doesn't he? Don't be surprised, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The word there, transform, literally is to disguise oneself. You know, Satan is not going to appear in his true form. Because if he does, we would reject him. We would flat out reject him. If we truly saw Satan how he truly looks, there would be no way that we would follow him. But Paul reminds us that Satan himself disguises himself. He transforms himself to look like the average person. Have you truly thought about the meaning of the word Satan? You know, most of us, like I said, we have an idea of what Satan looks like. But have you really ever truly thought about what the word Satan itself means? In the Hebrew language, the word Satan simply means adversary. It's that simple. In the Hebrew word, the word Satan literally means adversary. Now, we primarily use this word to describe the devil, for he is the adversary of God and his children, is he not? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Be watchful. Pay attention. Don't be slothful. Be vigilant. Be sober. Clear-minded. Clear-thinking. Because the adversary, the devil, Satan, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The word devour there Peter uses is literally to swallow up. He walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may swallow up. But you know, in the Old Testament uses this same word, basically, and it refers to adversary. In Numbers chapter 22, and I believe somewhere around verse 22, we see there that an angel as an adversary. Now, not calling, an angel Satan, but those that the angel was opposing. He was their adversary. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 29, I believe somewhere around verse 4, David, those that seen David, they see him as an adversary. You know, we have adversaries in our everyday life, do we not, sometimes? You know, sometimes people, they want to harm us. They want to make us look bad. They want to make us feel bad. So they do everything in their power to harm us. They would be our adversary. And again, I'm not calling these people Satan. But Satan literally is an adversary. Is someone who opposes. What does it look like to be a Satanist? You know, most of us have the idea that a Satanist is someone who holds what's known as a black mass. They walk around with long hoods and black gowns and chanting all kinds of things to bring creatures up out of the ground. You know, we've seen them where they draw a circle with a pendulum in the middle of it, and they chant and conjure up. That's what we think of as a Satanist, isn't it? Someone who literally worships Satan. But what does a Satan really look like? A Satanist? Would we know it? Would we know one if we seen him or her? Well, we would if they dressed up like I just described. Yeah, probably. But you know, a true Satanist is not like that. How do I know? Well, we're going to find out. I appreciate this man right here, Greg, for reading Matthew 16, 21 through 23. Let's look at it again. This is going to surprise you. Okay? This is going to surprise you. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. That was the plan of God. From the very foundation of the world, this is what was going to happen. But now notice, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Did you just realize that Peter himself was a Satanist? Now, don't misunderstand. I didn't call him Satan. But Peter right here at this moment was a Satanist. Why? Why? Because Peter was an adversary to God's will. Now, granted, Peter didn't fully understand what was going to take place. Because at this point in time, these disciples were thinking that Jesus was going to restore the kingdom of Israel and that he was going to sit on the throne of David. So Peter, in his mind, he's saying, you can't do this. If you die, if you're going to be put to death, then how are you going to establish your kingdom? Peter, that was his thinking. But even though he did not understand the full nature of what was taking place, he was still being an adversary of God's plan. So what was his error? What was Paul's error here? It was simply that he opposed God's plan. Look at it again. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him. Now, when it says here that Peter took him, we don't know literally if he just simply took a hold of Jesus' arm, his hand, or literally took him apart from the other disciples. We don't know. But the idea here is that Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Began to say, no, this ain't going to happen. I'm not going to let it happen. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But then it says, Jesus turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God. He opposed God's plan. That's a Satanist. It is literally anyone who opposes God's plan. Now, Peter's not the only example. Peter encouraged Jesus not to go through with God's plan. The expression, far be it from you, Lord, literally in the Hebrew it means, or in the Greek, I'm sorry, mercy be upon you, Lord. And H. Leo Boyles writes in his commentary that this phrase here is often used in the Old Testament as a prayer against evil. Now, Peter here was not trying to be evil. He was not trying to literally oppose God. But because of his mindset, because of what he thought Jesus should be doing, was different than what God wanted Jesus to do. He was literally opposing what God had set into motion from the foundation of the world. encouraging people to rely strictly on grace and mercy instead of obedience makes you an adversary of the Lord. Encouraging people to rely on grace and mercy instead of obedience makes you an adversary, because you are going against God's will. We looked at this morning, Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There are those in the world today who oppose God's will. Say, oh, you don't need to be baptized. All you got to do is believe. God's mercy and God's grace will take care of the rest of it. If you will, look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Start reading verse 1. This is going to be 11 verses. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Peter said that Satan had filled the heart of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. What was the reason for them dying? Was it because they wanted to keep a portion of the money back? Ananias and Sapphira's error was lying and pride. They had the power to keep the land. They didn't have to sell it. They had the power to keep a portion of the money. But because they wanted to be seen as someone who gave a great deal of money, they lied. They went against God. They lied. They were proud. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. They could have kept all the money. But because of their pride and lying, they lost their life. Now, do you think being proud is against God? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So if we're walking around being so proud of who we are, what we got, how we got it, then are we not Satanists? Satan has control. Look at Luke chapter 14 and verse 11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Which one of these two things do you believe is right in God's sight? Exalting ourselves or humbling ourselves? Which one puts us in the right condition with God? Being humble or exalting ourselves? Which you think is more pleasing to God? Lying or telling the truth? I know these are rhetorical questions because you all know the answer. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. So if we lust fleshly eyes and are proudful, that's not of God. That's not of God. It's of the world. And who owns the world? Is it not Satan that literally owns the world? He's the prince of the air. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 5, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. There are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day. Hey, I'm holier than you are. I'm better than you are. You don't deserve to even be in my presence. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 tells us the story of Ananias and Sapphira, that they lied because of their pride. They were against God's plan. Now, God's plan literally was not for them to sell their land. The plan was to take care of one another. That's what they were doing. Those Christians that were rich were selling land, giving money to help the poor. But Ananias and Sapphira simply decided that, oh, well, yeah, we want to look good, but we want to keep part of the money, which was in their power. But because Satan filled them with pride, they lied. Now, turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I write unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one do not eat. For what have I to do with to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So what was the problem here? Yeah, many people are going to look at this. Well, the man was a fornicator. But is that all? What was the problem? The problem was this. The congregation there in Corinth not only approved, basically, because they didn't do anything about it, this man in his fornication lifestyle, they were proud. They were arrogant. They were puffed up. They were swelled up, inflated with vanity and pride and praise. Paul told the church to deliver that brother to Satan. Would you call all of those in Corinth at the church? Now, I imagine there was probably a few that shook their head in shame. But by what Paul wrote here, basically the church approved of what this man was doing. They were against God and his plan. Would you call that congregation a congregation of Satanists? They were going against God's plan. What are we told there to do? In verse 6, your glorying is not good? Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You know, a little bit of sin contaminates the whole thing. And they were willing to accept it. his error was immorality. He was living a very sinful life. The church's error was their pride. Didn't we just talk about pride here a little bit ago? Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Immorality destroys our reputation and our testimony to the world. When we think of Satanists, let's stop thinking of the Hollywood makeup of what a Satanist is and what it looks like. Because Satanists are just everyday people who are adversaries of the Almighty God. Those who oppose God's plan. And that's quite a few people. Revelation chapter 3, last verse. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Literally, what John is writing here and what Jesus is saying, hey, you better be hot or cold, one or the other. You can't be in the middle of the road. What happens if you drive your car down the middle of the road? Probably going to get hit. And on the day of judgment, yeah, we may stand up there and say, look at all the good things I've done, but yet we're looking at the heart. You may have done them, but you didn't do them out of love or concern or whatever. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. Brothers and sisters, the point of this lesson is to make us aware that we may unwittingly be a Satanist or an adversary of the Lord by our conduct and our thinking. Let's give care that we are not, through our participation, advancing the cause of the adversary. The Satanists are all around us. Those who literally oppose God's will. Let us not be numbered with them. This morning, if you're here and you want to be baptized and have your sins washed away in complete obedience